worthy to receive glory, honor, and majesty. We bow before thee, O Lord, and give you thanks. As we meditate your word, O Father, speak to us, teach us thy ways, O Lord. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. 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 Please be seated. Thank you. Praise the Lord. It's so good, right, to praise God? It brings the presence of God and always makes us to understand the plan and the purpose of God. It is so good to be in the presence of God and sing and praise God. And as you know, somebody was listening to our songs, and they sent me an email and said, "Pastor, I appreciate your videos and your songs, your church. I always liked your singing and your church choir, and you are a very good worshiper. And I could see the presence of God whenever you lead the congregation in singing and whenever you worship, and it's a praise God to us." Right? Worshiping God, praising God is number one. Because all I can give in my life is to worship God. When I worship God, I say thanks. That's my expression towards God. When we worship, we are saying, what are we saying? Thank you, Lord, what you have done in my life. That's the expression what we can give. Worship is an expression of giving thanks to God. And that's the reason I tell, you know, be on time so that we all could worship God. We can express and tell God that, God, I love you. I thank and praise you for every opportunity given to us. We thank and praise you. Amen? How many of you know that what we are meditating in the church? What is that? How many of you do not know what we are meditating in church? You know, past 1 month, the series are going on. And still, if you have a blank faces, then you people are not with me. And that's the reason I'm saying, you know, if you don't come also, just go to the website, listen what is happening, and you will be on the same page with me, and you will prepare yourself. Because, see, the reason why I'm telling you is we need to prepare ourselves when we come into the presence of God. It is not pastor's business to prepare himself only. It is every person who comes into the presence of God must prepare himself. Every person who comes into the presence of God must prepare himself. How many of you have notes? How many of you are taking notes? Praise the Lord. Because, you know, someday, definitely, I will pass up. When you look to your Bible, when you look to your words, your notes, you will tell thanks to God. Because whenever I speak to you people, it is not me who is speaking to you. It is the heart and the spirit of God speaking to you. And he will never change. He will never change. The world and the people in the world will pass away. But God always remains. So please, you know, whenever you listen to the word of God, take notes, go home, open your notes, meditate, you'll get more insight. You'll get more insight, and you will start preaching. You'll start, once you understand the word of God, you will start preaching. ఇప్పుడు చెప్పినా కదా, ప్రకటించకుంటే నాకు శ్రమ, వినకపోతే మీకు శ్రమ. ఏంటండి మంచిగా చెప్తున్నా, వినండి. ఇఫ్ ఐ డోంట్ ప్రీచ్ ఐఎమ్ ఇన్ ప్రాబ్లం, బట్ ఇఫ్ యూ డోంట్ లిసన్ అండ్ పే అటెన్షన్ యు ఆర్ ఇన్ ప్రాబ్లం. దట్స్ వాట్ పాల్ సేస్. ప్రకటించకపోతే నాకు శ్రమ, కానీ వినకపోతే ఎవరికి? Can you raise your hands? Vinakapote? Mikshrama, if you don't listen and pay attention, I have to preach because that is the burden. If you don't listen, then you are going to pay price for that. So please, you know, whenever you go to church, prepare yourself, take your Bible, take your notebook, take your pen. That will be good. That will be good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, last week we were talking about, we heard about loving your neighbor because Jesus said, love, love, love. And that love is agape love. Agape love is sacrificing love, which God has shown us on the cross of Calvary. And he says, you heard that you must love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you that love your enemy. Now you may say that, wait a minute, Pastor. If I love my enemy, I am going to be killed. I am going to be shot. This guy is a criminal. Right? This guy is a criminal and he is going to kill me, Pastor. How can I love my enemy? Jesus died for his enemies. Jesus was killed, crucified. Still, he loved the people who hated him. Amen? Jesus loved the people who wanted to kill him. He says, these are the people I love because they must know the truth. And you know, the moment Christ was crucified and buried, and on the third day, when he was risen from the grave, many people who crucified and shouted, crucify him, crucify him, were changed. When they have seen the power of God in Jesus, they were all converts. And that's the reason the first Christians were Jews. The first Christians were Jews. And the Bible says that I came to my own and my own have not accepted me. But the first Christians, the people who hated Jesus, who crucified Jesus, who shouted, crucify him, crucify him, were the people who believed in Jesus Christ. Love. Love of God is agape love. If you do not love your neighbor, he says, if you do not love your neighbor, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. When you don't love, this is the agape love. Now remember very carefully, agape love. And always God uses agape love. What is agape love? Sacrificing love. It is a noun. Sacrificing love. If we do not love, then where are we walking? We are walking in the blindness and we don't know. We don't know about our life. We don't know about our destination. We don't know where we are going. Where we are going, we don't know. My friends, and that's the reason I said, today is a perfect day. What God wants to tell us. God wants to tell us that in the same chapter, chapter 2, 1 John, it's an epistle. I'm not preaching from gospel. I'm preaching from epistle. Chapter 2 and verse 16. Do not love the world. Now here it says, love your enemy. Love your neighbor, love your brother, okay? Love your brother, which is agape love. Now here he says that do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in this world, the craving of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. The man who does the will of God. What is the will of God? The will of God is I need to preach. The will of God is I need to preach. The will of God is whom you are sitting must listen and pay attention so that you will do what he's asking you to do. That is the will of God. That is the will of God. But here it says, you know, do not love the world. Now there is a difference between the first portion what I explained to you and the second portion what I'm coming. In the first portion it says that love your neighbor, love your brother, which is agapelo. That means sacrificing love. Nothing you're going to keep for yourself. You're going to lay down everything as Christ has done for you and for me on the cross of Calvary. Now here when we are shifting, he says, do not love. What he says? Do not love. This is not agape. Agap. What is this? Agap love. A hyphen, right? Write it down. A hyphen G-A-P-E. This is a verb. This is a verb that means action. Whatever you do, whatever you do. Now, you know, James explains to us in James 1st chapter. He says the desires. What does the desires do? They conceive and once they are done in us, it brings action. Correct? Once the action is done, then the sin is born in us. Then the sin is born in us. So action always reveals what is inside of us. When you speak, when you do things, the action reveals what sort of a man you are, what sort of a woman you are, what sort of a behavior you have, what sort of a character you have. This reveals. So he says, do not love. Agape. What is that? Do not love the world. You know, agape is a love which is used, but it tells us very differently. It tells us that taking pleasure. What is this agape love? It's taking pleasure. In doing things, it takes pleasure for us. You know, when you want to take pleasure in so many things, you know, there are many times we take pleasure in doing good things, we take pleasure in doing bad things. But here, this goes not positive, it goes negative. It goes negative. It goes negative. In other words, what God doesn't like, it makes us to do. This agape is what God doesn't like will make us to do. What God likes, he likes agape love. That means sacrificing love. Not expecting anything to come back to us. Jesus never expected us from anything. Because whatever we have, everything belongs to God. And when Christ died for us, he never expected us to die for him. He says, if you love me, do what I have done for you. And that is what it says, you know, love your neighbor. He says, do not love the world. Do not love the world. Do not take pleasure in cosmos, the created things. Do not take the pleasure in the system. Do not take the pleasure in the system. Many people, we take pleasure in the created things. The whole struggle for a human is God versus creation. God versus creation and the created things. God versus created and created things. System. Now see, this is my body. This is my part. Right? My hand is apart, my leg is apart, my eyes is apart, my ear is apart, my nose is apart. All this is a system in the body. All this is a system in the body. Now, whatever God has created, sun, moon, earth, stars, whatever is created is a system. And God says, do not take pleasure. Do not take pleasure in the created cosmos, created things, created system. Now, let us see. What was the purpose of God creating this whole system? What was the purpose of God creating the whole universe, whole cosmos, the world? Let's go to chapter 2 of Genesis. We'll come back here again. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. I'll be in Genesis chapter 1. I'm reading from verse 27. So God created man in his own image. God created you and me in his own image, in his likeness. And therefore, John is talking to us. Whoever is created in the image of God. Is anybody who is not created in the image of God? No. Every person on this earth is created in the image of God, irrespective of your caste, your religion. Everyone has been created by God, and they have been created in the image of God, in the image of God. So he says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Ah, I like that word. Fill the earth and subdue it. In other words, fill the earth and rule it. Let this earth be under your foot. That is the meaning in Hebrew. That is the meaning in Hebrew. Let the whole world, cosmos, created system should be under our feet because it has been created for us. We are not created for the world. We have been created for God in his own image. And therefore, rightly he says, do not take pleasure in created things, in the system. Don't take pleasure in the created things, because these things are created for you, and you are the king. Who are you? You are the king. You have been given authority. You have been given power to rule this and to subdue them. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Can you say amen loudly? We have been created in the image of God. We have been created in the image of God. Male and female, to be fruitful and to subdue this earth, to fill this earth, to rule this earth. But why John is bringing this to our attention? We all know that God has created us and everything is created for us. But why John is making this statement? What is the reason for John to make this statement? Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. If you're with me, say amen. Romans chapter 1, and Paul is writing. Paul is writing, and he compliments what John is saying. He's bringing the truth. He reminds us that we are not supposed to take pleasure in the worldly things. The world is created for us. The cosmos is created for us. And I'm reading from Verse 21. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. For although they knew God, neither they glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, useless, good for nothing. Their thinking is not good. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. We all know, right? Why are we created? We have been created by God to rule this earth, to subdue this earth. But what happened? In our foolish thinking, we have not looked to God who created us in his own image. You know, I like Jesus saying, somebody came and said that, do we have to pay tax? And Jesus said, show me the coin. And as soon as Jesus saw the coin, he says, whose image is this? And somebody says, this is Caesar's image. Render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give to God what belongs to God. In other words, he says, this coin belongs to Caesar, but you have an image of God on you, so render yourself to God. You have an image. I have an image of God on me. There is a seal. And I belong to God. I have been created by him in his image. Caesar rules this world. I am God-made person, and I will be ruled by God himself. If you are God-made person, submit yourself to God. They forgot who God is in their life. They started worshiping. They started worshiping the created things. In verse 24, therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their heart. Now again, the desire comes. The love, desire, the lust. Desires of their hearts in sexual impurity for the disgracing of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praiseworthy. Do not love, do not take pleasure in the system which has been created for you. But these people, instead of giving praises to the Creator, they started worshipping the creation. They started worshipping the creation. I never knew the minimum ticket price of this Super Bowl. I'm telling you. Just 2 days back, somebody told it is $2,750 is an average ticket. $2,750 is an average ticket. I started crying. I thought it's about $10, $20, $100, $500. I never knew this. I said, in India, it is almost 1,80,000 rupees. And that is nominal price. And yesterday I was told, on Friday night, there is a particular seat. There's a particular seat. From there, you have a very best view. And that is $4,750. Tickets are sold out. The basic thing what God is saying, if you get out of the boundaries of God, there is a boundary for us. God has drawn boundaries for us. And he has given us freedom to be in that boundary. As long as you're in that boundary, you're in the presence of God. The moment you step out, you are in the world. You are in the world. And the desires of world is against the will of God. The desires of the world is against the will of God. People, I was thinking, Lord, in our church, we don't have enough money, Lord. Last month when I was doing, we were short of money. 2,750. And they don't care. God says that don't step out of the boundary walls what I have put for you. Don't cross the boundary walls. Do not take pleasure in the worldly things. The worldly system is entirely different from God's system, friends. God's system is not to worship the world, but to worship the Creator. But the world system is to worship the world. Worship the world. And therefore, he says that, do not love the world, but do not love the world. Because people who love the created things love the world. And he says, you have been created in my own image, so therefore I don't want you to love the world because I have given myself for you. So understand, not only that, he says, you know, do not love the world or anything in this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of Father is not in him. If you love the world, agape is missing in you. The sacrificing love is missing in you. You will never love your neighbor. You will never love your brother. You will never love the people whom I have loved. You will never love what I have loved. You will love only the world. You will love only the world. You will love only the world. He says, if you love this world, if you love the system, if you love the created things. But how will you know that whether you love God or the system? How do you know that whether, how do you know whether you love God or the system? Now, next thing, what it says? For everything in this world, now this is where it comes. Everything in this system, everything in the cosmos, everything in the created thing is number one. What is that number one? Number one is craving of sinful man. That is the lust of the flesh. Lust of the flesh. Your desire is for the flesh. You know, the Bible is very clear. Romans chapter 8, it says, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. In King James Version, it's very good. So let us go. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Therefore now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Woo! There is no punishment. Correct? There is no punishment who are in Christ Jesus. In other words, there is no punishment in the people who do not love this world. The people who do not love this world. But the second one, which are in Christ Jesus, who walks not after the flesh. Who walks not after the flesh, that means who do not walk after this world. Ilokamunu vember inchuvaru karu. శరీర విషయమైనటువంటి విషయంలో మనం తలంచినట్లయితే, శరీరాన్ని మనం ప్రేమించినట్లయితే, శరీరంను ప్రేమిస్తే దేవుని కంటే ఎక్కువ ఈ లోకంను ప్రేమిస్తామంట మనం.
ఎందుకంటే మన శరీరము ఈ లోకముకు సంబంధించింది. Our body belongs to this world. We have been created from dust. And our body is very weak. And always we are tend to love this world more than God. If you love your flesh, if you love your body. He says, you know, who do not walk after flesh, but after the spirit. The spirit belongs to God. And that's why King Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, when we die, the body goes to dust, but the spirit returns to God. Because the spirit belongs to God. The spirit belongs to God. And that's the reason there is always a fight, war going on within us. The spirit and the body. Jesus said, spirit is willing, but body is weak. Body is very weak. Chariramu balahinatam. Atma siddhame gani chariramu balahinamanta. It is very weak. And therefore, John is bringing us. He says, whoever loves this world, the love of Father is not in this. Because everything in this world is, number one, the lust of your flesh. Lust of your flesh. You love it. You want all the desires. You want all the desires. Right? I want everything to be very good. Allow my body. I don't want to give my thighs to God, but I want roosh. Because my body, my face must look very good. You get my point? If it is $100 also, you don't mind. You will cheat God because you love your body. Think about it. A man doesn't have money to give tithes. Cigarette. A man doesn't have money to pay tithes. He wants to drink. He wants to satisfy his body, the desires of his body. Why? Because he doesn't love God. He doesn't want to respect the Creator. John is saying, don't do it, my friends. Don't do it. Because you are into the system. You are into the created things. You are not loving God. Not only that. Number two. What he says? Number two. Lust of your flesh and lust of an eye. You know what is this eyes? When we talk about lust of an eye, it's envy. What does your eyes do? They look to the property which doesn't belong to you. Therefore, in Ten Commandments, God gave us a very clear instructions. Thou shalt not love your neighbor's wife. Very clear. What does the eye do? Man, your wife is lame. Your neighbor's wife is good. Therefore, don't look at your wife. Where should you look? To your neighbor's wife. You're crossing the line what God has driven. Devudu gisinatvanti geeta javadati potunamanta. When we cross that line, where are we? We are in the world. And you know, looking at others, neighbor's wife in the world, it is pleasure. It is a style. Living together is a style. Living together is a style. Same-sex marriage is a style. We're coming out. We're coming out of the presence of God. We are stepping into this world. And he brings us, he says, envy, jealous, comes out of your vision. And therefore, Jesus very wisely said, in Matthew chapter 5, he says, come on, let's read. These are the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 5. Are you there? You have heard, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27, you have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks to a woman lustfully, lust of the eyes, lustfully, has already committed adultery in his heart. Shariraasha, Netraasha. Netraasha entandi, chusindanta kavalanta. Kani ee netralante devuni chupinchayi. Lokamanta chupistadi. Kada? These eyes, they will show you everything in this world except God. That's the reason the Satan has taken him up and says, look, everything belongs to me. Look, everything belongs to me. I am going to give you. Can you bow before me? And the people who are weak, before the Satan says bow down, they will bow down to him. And that's the reason the word of God says that do not love. Why we bow down to Satan in many, many circumstances? Why we cheat? Why we lie? Why we rob God? What is the reason why we do it? Why we do it? Because we love the system. 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 Lust of the flesh. Lust of the eye. Then comes what? Pride, boasting, right? Atma vishwasam. You know, self-confidence is sin. Self-confidence will never make you to obey God. I have sent a message to you. You know, every time you get every day. I don't know how many of you read those things. I don't know. Self-confidence is the enemy between you and God. Self-confidence always makes you to trust you, yourself, more than God. So when you have self-confidence, you eliminate God from you. And boasting comes out. What does come? What comes out? Boasting. I. The word I is used in pride, boasting. The word I, we are the main words which are used. Nenu, memu, ante nenu na bharta, memu. When we say we, that is me and my husband. Ananya and Safira, both. Boasting. You know, what does the Bible say about boasting? I love this. You know, it is our pride, but always our pride depends on society, people who encourage. There are four things what people admire in us, which brings pride in us. There are four things. I'm going to take you. Number one, many times people, when they admire you, they say, he's a wise man. Chana gnana vantudu. Telvi galludu. Ante, rechipotam. Nakanna managal ledu. And when somebody says that he's a very wise man, you are so proud. Even the foolish things you will do in confidence. Number one, people, when they admire you, your wisdom. Correct? They admire you with a wisdom. You know, this is in the Bible. Let me take you to Isaiah chapter 42, 45. No, Isaiah chapter 9, sorry. Isaiah chapter 9. Please listen very carefully, okay? It's Jeremiah chapter 9, not Isaiah. I'm also forgetting. You're there with me? Jeremiah chapter 9, and I'm reading from verse 23 and 24. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast about his wisdom. Number one, people will admire you because of your wisdom. The next thing is, or the strong man boast about his strength, that is your power or authority. The power and authority. When you're working for a company, if you have somebody on you, you'll always want to pogurta unto. ఎందుకంటే నీకు పని కావాలి కదా, వాడు తప్పు చేసినా కానీ పొగుడుతుంటావు. ఏమండి, లేకుండా పని పోతుంది. అండ్ యూ విల్ బి జాబ్లెస్. సో ఆల్ ద టైమ్ యూ వుడ్ లవ్ టు బోస్ట్ హిమ్, యూ వుడ్ లైక్ టు అడ్మైర్ హిమ్. వాట్ ఎవర్ హీ డస్ యూ విల్ అడ్మైర్ హిమ్. ద సెకండ్ థింగ్ ఈజ్ వెన్ పీపుల్ అడ్మైర్ యూ, ఇట్ ఈస్ అబౌట్ యువర్ స్ట్రెంగ్త్ ఆర్ యువర్ అథారిటీ. ద థర్డ్ థింగ్ ఈజ్ దే మే అడ్మైర్ యూ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ద వెల్త్ వాట్ యూ హ్యావ్. Riches. Because of the wealth. Gopolan eppudu kuda manam kinda padayam. Padestama? Ledu. Always we would love to. Ippudu okar daggara 200,000 unnadi ani meeku telisindi anko, vaani pogurta untam. If somebody has 200,000 in the bank, you will be very good friend and you will say, oh man, you are a good guy, and he takes you to McDonald's, you will start singing about him, you will start admiring him. First thing, people admire you because of your wisdom. Number two, people admire you because of your power. Number three, people admire you because of your wealth. Number four, people admire you because of your kindness. Sometimes we are kind to people, and people may admire. But what does the word of God says? What does the word of God says? Let's go to the same chapter and verse 24. Now here comes but. In the verse 24, what does it come? But, and you all know the meaning of but, right? You all know the meaning of but and if in the Bible. It says, but, the Lord says, but let him who boast about this, that he understands and knows the God. Let him boast. Let him boast that he knows the living God. Let him boast that our God is a God who created us in his own image. Let him boast that he died for us on the cross of Calvary. Let him boast that I belong to God and he created me in his own image. Let him boast. He says, let him boast. Let him who boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth, for in these I delight, declares the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen? Echulu cheppukoni kavalna? Echulu cheppukoni kavalna? Cheppandi. Devuni telusukoni cheppandi. You want to boast? Boast. Know the truth. Let him boast that he knows me. Let him boast that he knows me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 31. But let me read from verse 26, chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm reading from verse 26. Brothers, think of what you wear. Ah, this is good. When you boast, first thing you need to think about what you wear. Think about what you wear when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards, nor many were influential. Not many were of noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lonely things of this world and the despised things. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast about him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. You want to boast? I want to boast about myself. Because whatever is said in 1 Corinthians 1 chapter is my fate. And if I have to boast, if I have to be proud, Jesus made me proud because he has taken away my shame, my sin, the cross of Calvary. Therefore I stand and I would like to proclaim and I would like to tell he is my God. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Let us do good. And in verse 14, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, in which the created cosmos system is dead. Crucify is dead. This world is dead for me. I don't belong to this world. This world is dead. Crucifixion, cross, represents the death. And let us boast. Let us boast and say that this world is dead for me. I have nothing to do with this world. I have nothing to do with this world. We have to be very careful. Because see, all our struggle in this world, in Ephesians chapter 6, is explained to us. We have to put on the armor of God because we need to wrestle. It is not easy for us to be clear in this world. Always it's a wrestling for us. Always it's a struggle. It's a fight for us because the enemy is looking at us. We are targeted by the enemy. And therefore, we need to wear the armor of God. We need to wear the armor of God because the prince of this world knows that he has limited time. The prince of this world knows that he has limited time. The authority over this world knows that he has limited time. He has limited time. He has limited time. And that's what Jesus said. I am going. I am going. I am going. And soon, the prince of this world is going to come. You know, Satan? What happened after the death of Jesus Christ? After 40 days, he has been seen. Correct? And after that, what happened? He ascended into heaven. Let me tell you immediately what happened when he went to
to heaven.
Let's go to 12th chapter of Revelation. Revelation chapter 12
and verse 9. The great dragon was hurled down, which means thrown forcefully, dragged forcefully. Okay? Now, I want a person to go away from this place. That person doesn't want to go. But I want him to go from this place. I want a person to go away from my life. He doesn't want to go. Rightly so. Because, see, for 37 years, I have taken care of this guy in me. నాలో ఉన్నవాని 37 సంవత్సరాలు పెంచి పెద్దగా చేసిన ఏంటండి సాతానును వాడు చెప్పినట్టు విన్నా ఎట్లా చేయాలని అట్లా చేసిన కదా 37 సంవత్సరాలు అయిన తర్వాత యేసుక్రీస్తుని అంగీకరించినాక పొమ్మంటే పోతాడా ఏమయ్యా 37 సంవత్సరాలు నువ్వు నన్ను పెంచి పెద్దగా చేసినవు ఇప్పుడు మంచిగా బలంగా దిట్టుగా అయినా నేను ఎట్లా పోతా నో ఫర్ 37 ఇయర్స్ I walked according to the desires of this world. And the Satan in me, I have taken care of him. I fed him nicely. I did whatever he said I did. After 37 years, when I accepted Christ, when I committed myself to Christ, I told this guy to go away. He says, how can I go? 37 years you were so good to me, fed me. Now I am very fat, very handsome. I don't want to go. But the power of God, what he did, the power of God gave me power to herald this guy. That means pull him out. Say amen. It happens with every believer. He will not leave us. We have to push him out. We have to throw him out. That's what happened when Jesus went. Now see this guy. When Jesus went, he said, Jesus went. He thrown forcefully. That ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray, he was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now comes the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of Christ. Amen. Immediately when Jesus went to the throne, to occupy the throne, this guy was sitting there, but there was a war in heaven. And he was thrown down. He was thrown down because there is a power in the blood of Jesus Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ has been shed from the body of Jesus Christ. Church is the body of Jesus Christ. The power and the authority is given to the church. There's this guy, his throne. He says, this guy is throne. And then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers who accused them before our God day and night. Man, this guy doesn't sleep. You will be sleeping, I will be sleeping, but this guy doesn't sleep. You get me? That's the reason many times we see bad dreams. Right? Because he's at work. You're sleeping, but he's at work. How many of you pray before you sleep? I want you to pray. Kneel down at your bedside. Kneel down and pray to God. Raise your hands and pray to God. Anoint oil on your children and pray to God. There is a power in our prayer. And you know what happened? Day and night he was accusing and has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame him by what? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You know, beautiful. The blood of the Lamb, if you are washed in the blood of the Lamb, there is always testimony with you. testimony is nothing but evidence. Go to court. They say, oh, do you have any witnesses? Oh, at the time of happening, there were two friends. They are the testimonies. Bring them. And the judge listens to these people and they say that at the time of this happened, you know, I was there. Blood, the judge notes all the stuff. They are the testimony. They are the proof. And you and I who are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ are proof for Jesus Christ in this world. You know that? And many times we are ashamed to stand as a testimony for Jesus Christ. These people said, these people are testimony. They are testimony. They are testifying God. And they overcame him by the blood of Lamb and by the word of their testimonies. They did not love their lives so much. Ooh. They never loved their life. The body, the eye, the pride was not in them. In other words, they never liked the created things, the cosmos or the system, because they knew that they have been created by God in their own image, and they knew that God has given them a task, and that task is to fulfill, be fruitful, and subdue the earth. They have overcome. And not only that, they did not love their lives so much as to sing for death. In other words, they never cried on the high pitches for death. You know, when you are in acute pain, when something happens, we scream, right? Scream and cry. They never cried for death. They never cried for death. No, those who love Jesus Christ, those who love God in their life, they are not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of death because that is my final destination where I will be. I love to be with Jesus. I love to be with my Jesus. And other day, I was just meditating. When I was meditating, I wanted to tell my children. I said, okay, when I die, I want the best suit, whatever I have. Right? And give me the best clothes. And everything should be blessed because I am going to stand in the presence of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to look best. When I'm going to meet Obama, you think I'll go with a torn shirt? I will look to the best dress. I want to present myself in the presence of God. I know the Holy Spirit will help me because this is my desire. My God knows what is my desire and he will grant all my desires because I love my God. I don't love this world. I'm not from this world. I don't have desire for this world. But all my desire is a man who came from heaven, bore my sins and died on the cross of Calvary. By his blood, today I stand to testify and to preach. By his blood, I go wherever he takes me because there's a power in the blood of Jesus Christ who shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. I just want to ask you this. Love your brother as Christ loved us, but do not love this world because God doesn't like it. You say that, Pastor. I want to just thank God for speaking to me. From today, I will boast. I will boast because I know my God. In him, I will boast. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 24 says, I will boast Let him boast that he knows me. He knows my righteousness, my faithfulness. Let him boast. And Paul says, my boasting is in the blood of Jesus Christ who has been crucified. Whom do you love? Do you love this world or the system? The things which are created for you? Or do you love God? Let's close our eyes. My friends, the word of God is so clear to us. I would love to pray for you. God wants to touch us. God wants to heal us and deliver us from the problems what we are struggling. God wants to be with us. He wants to sanctify us this evening. And if you say that, Pastor, indeed, I would love to be a testimony, a witness for God. I would love to boast what He has done in my life. I would love to boast and say that I know my living God who sacrificed Himself on the cross of Calvary and delivered me from filthiness, unrighteousness. The world and its desires passes away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. I want to live forever with Jesus. Therefore, I would like to reaffirm my faith today and tell that I belong to God. If you say that, please stand wherever you are. I would love to pray for you. I'd love to pray for you wherever you are, my friends. Let us not boast in ourselves. Let us not be confident in our behavior. But let us give ourselves to God and say that, Lord, I will reaffirm. I will give myself because I want your touch, your second touch, the second breath I want. Let's raise our right hand. Father, as we stand and raise our hands, we thank and praise you for your word which has come to us. Thank you for blessing us with the word of God. Thank you for reminding us, Lord, that we are not supposed to love this world or to have desires of this world. We're not supposed to, Lord. Yes, your word says, do not love the world. Do not love the world. And we thank and praise you, Lord, for reminding us. Jesus died for us and revealed the righteousness of God in the cross of Calvary. And today we are crucified for this world. And all our boast is in the cross, in the living God. We give you thanks and praise you.